Thank you all very much for the welcome this evening. And we've come together once again to consider what the Bible has to say. The message of the Bible is really quite simple. And yet it is so vitally important for all of us today. There was a man in the Bible and he was asked to tell what his story was, and he simply said, "Once I was blind, but now I see." In the few songs of praise we were singing before the service began, the very first one that was given out said this: "I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me." And the third verse went like this: "Once evil led me, but now God reigns. His wondrous grace has rescued me." I wonder this evening, if you were able to say with the poet who penned these words, "I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me." As we consider the message of the Bible tonight, I'm going to pose a question and then seek to answer it from what the Bible would teach us. And the question I'm going to ask and ask you to consider is this: the greatest problem. The greatest problem. And I'm going to ask you, what do you consider tonight to be the greatest problem facing our world? And perhaps more personally, what is the greatest problem that you as an individual have tonight? When we look at planet Earth, when we look at the world in which we live in, there are many great problems facing the world. And if you were to ask men and women today, what is the greatest problem facing our world? Many today would point to the economic downturn, the collapse of the banking system across the world. And they would say that is the greatest problem the world has. Many others would point to science and say global warming, with all the threats that the scientists suggest will take place in future years if we do not get to grips with global warming. I work in the health service, and one of the big issues that constantly come up in the health service is the fear, the concern of pandemic flu, that the bird flu that we hear of in Southeast Asia will one of those days mutate and become infectious to humans. And there are constantly being plans being updated for pandemic flu. A few years ago, one of the major concerns in the world was nuclear war. For many years, peace was maintained between East and West on the basis of mutual assured destruction. If you were to go out and ask people, you'd get lots of other ideas too. There are some people who fear that the major concern, the major problem for planet Earth is the risk of a meteor strike. Running out of natural resources, and so we could go on. Many problems facing our world tonight. But what about you? What about you as an individual? And if you were to ask, what is the greatest problem facing you tonight? Well, I'm sure many of us, it is the reality, or it is the fear of unemployment, of losing our homes in the midst of this economic downturn. For others, it is the fear of ill health and the apprehension that that brings for the future. Perhaps for you, you would tell me that the greatest problem is the family, relationships, concern about children, breakdown of a marriage relationship. Perhaps it's violence Every time you turn on the television news, you seem to hear about knife crime. You seem to hear about social unrest. And if I was to ask you, I'm sure there would be many other problems that you would identify. Concerns that you have for today and for tomorrow. The greatest problem. As much of a problem and as much of a cause for concern all of these are, I want to consider tonight the problem that is the root cause for all these others. The greatest problem that you have tonight, the greatest problem in the world for today and for the future is sin. S-I-N. Sin. It's what the Bible presents to us as the greatest problem in the world. It's what the Bible presents to be the greatest problem in your life and in my life tonight. You may disagree. Many out in there in the world would. You may even laugh. Many out there in the world did. But it does not alter the truth as presented by the Bible that sin is the greatest problem that any one of us has. The book of Isaiah, one of the old prophets of Israel, said this, but your iniquities, that is, your sins, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The greatest problem, sin, which separates between you and your God. And this is man's greatest problem, sin, which separates between you and your God. Now we are going to turn to our Bibles. The message we have tonight is based on the Bible, and so we are going to read a little from it. And we're going to read right back at the very dawn of human history. If you have a Bible with you, you might want to turn with me to the very first book in the Bible and the opening chapters. The book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And we're going to read a few verses from chapter 3 that is going to describe how sin came into the world. Genesis in chapter 3, the dawn of human history. Science will tell you that this was millions and millions of years ago. I can assure you that it wasn't. Adam and Eve, created by God, placed in a perfect environment. And then we're going to take up the story in Genesis and chapter 3. And we'll read first of all the first 11 verses together. And the writer says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Then to the end of the chapter, in verse 21, Unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and clothed them. Then verse 23, Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. The Apostle Paul, in Romans in chapter 5, gave a commentary on this story. He brought the application to you and me. He explained how this has an effect on you and me today. And I'd just like to read just a few scattered verses from Romans and chapter 5. First of all, verse 12. And the Apostle Paul says this, Wherefore, as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then breaking into verse 15, For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And then at verse 18, Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And if you want a text for tonight, if you want a verse to go away with and think about, it's found in verse 8 of Romans in chapter 5. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have our question, or our subject, the greatest problem. The greatest problem for mankind. The greatest problem for you tonight. Sin. And we're going to think of sin, its cause, And we found that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. As by one man, sin entered into the world. And then we're going to think of its curse, of its consequences. And we found that in verse 18. By the offence of one, judgment came upon all. We're going to see that the curse, the consequences of sin, is that the judgment of God came upon all. And then finally we'll think of the cure. And the cure is found in a person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about him in Romans chapter 5. At verse 18, for example, it says, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. And the gift comes, the gift of God, by one man, Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin, its cause. Sin, its curse. And sin, its cure. But before we come to these three points briefly, let's just make sure that we understand what do we mean by sin. If you were to look up a dictionary, like I did yesterday, and we had at home the Collins English Dictionary, Concise English Dictionary, and it says this of sin: it is transgression of God's known will. That I thought was amazing, for that is exactly what the Bible says. It is transgression of God's known will. It gives another explanation. It says it is any offence against a principle or standard. And again, that is exactly what our Bible would say. God has a standard. God has a law. God has rules. And any offence, any breaking of them, is sin. What does the Bible say? The challenge from God to Adam that we read together in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 11 was this: hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? It is an offence against a principle or standard. It is a transgression of God's known will. God has said to Adam, thou shalt not. And the challenge came from God: hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? At the very beginning of human history, sin is introduced as disobedience to God's command. When we come into the New Testament, the Apostle John, as he writes a letter, would say this: sin is transgression of the law. Sin is transgression of the law. It's almost as if Collins Concise English Dictionary has lifted that verse and put it in for the definition of sin. It is transgression. It is breaking. It is disobeying the law. And again, it is stated that sin is disobedience, rebellion against God, breaking the rules, the principles and standards that he has given to man. Do remember that sin is not just actions, not just what you do, but it is also omissions. It is failing to do what you know is right. Sin is also thoughts. It is the motives behind the actions. It is the thoughts that you have and the verdict of God. We read it together in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. For that all have sinned. So So let's come and look briefly at our three points. Sin, its class. And we read it together in Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. At verse 19 of Romans 5, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And our Bible traces sin back to the very beginning of human history. Adam and Eve, as we have said, created by the hand of God, placed in that perfect environment of Eden's garden. As we read the record in Genesis and chapter 3, one prohibition was given to Adam and Eve. In the midst of the perfection of Eden, in the midst of the abundance, one prohibition, one tree that was special and was not to be eaten thereof. And then, into the garden came Satan, in the form of a serpent. And immediately, he challenges the word of God. He says, has God said. It caused Eve to consider the tree. And we read this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Disobedience to the command, the standards, the principle of God. Transgression of the known will of God, and sin entered human experience. The Genesis record says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They knew that they were wrong, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. They knew that they were not fit to stand in the presence of their God, and so they hid themselves. Sin, you see, brings separation between you and your God. And man was never to be the same again. Romans chapter 5 tells us, for by one man's disobedience, that was Adam, and that was in the Garden of Eden. But Paul continues to say, many were made sinners. Adam and Eve had sinned. They now had a sinful nature, a nature that tended to sin, a nature that had a bias against God. And that sinful nature was passed down from generation to generation to generation. Every single baby born from the time of Adam and Eve were born with that sinful nature, a nature that had the tendency towards sin, and so tonight. The truth of the Bible is seen, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 puts it like this. There is no difference. Looking over the whole of mankind, there is no difference, for all have sinned. Tonight the Bible says, all have sinned. All have fallen short of God's standard. All have transgressed against His known will. You have sinned. And I have sinned. How does this work? Well, James puts it like this. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And that is the fallen nature within us that draws us away after our own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that brings us nicely on to sin, its curse, or sin, its consequences. James said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If all have sinned, if you and I have sinned, then it is important that we consider together the outcome, the consequences, the curse of that. We've already said it. The Apostle Paul stresses it. Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But let's for a moment return to the Eden's garden and see what we can learn from the incident there in Genesis chapter 3. As a result of sin, Adam knew he was naked. He knew he was no longer fit for the presence of God, and he hid himself, but the voice of God was heard. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam was found out. He tried to hide in the midst of the trees of the garden, but he could not hide himself from God. Adam, where art thou? He stood before God, a guilty man, and God judged. Verse 17 that we didn't read says this, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And Adam was driven out of Eden, separated from his God. And ultimately we read in Genesis chapter 5 of Adam, and he died. Sin is serious. Sin is undoubtedly a great problem, for sin separates from God, and sin ultimately condemns to hell and everlasting judgment. You cannot hide your sin from God. In the book of Numbers, God speaks to the people of Israel through Moses and says, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot avoid being found out. You cannot hide your sin. And you cannot avoid the judgment, the consequences, the curse that follows. Hebrews in chapter 9 says this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, but after this, the judgment, and the penalty is fixed. Again, the Apostle Paul writes, the wages of sin is death. And so the judgment is unavoidable. The penalty is fixed. Physical death. But that is not the end. For after this, the judgment. The body laid in the grave, but the soul, the real you, goes to meet your God, the judge of all the earth. And then there is what the Bible describes as the second death. Banished from the presence of God. Driven from his presence to the place of punishment forever. Truly sin is a curse. Truly sin has consequences. Sin is a great problem for every one of us and for our world today. You need to consider it seriously. You need to consider it urgently. But then as we finish, we can't leave it there. For the message of the Bible is called the gospel message. That is the message of good news. And there's not a lot of good news in thinking of sin, its cause and its curse. But praise be to God, there is a cure. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news of the Bible is that there is a solution to the problem of sin. There is a cure for sin. Again, we were singing this evening already, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Now we are free. There's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me. Oh, hear his sweet call. Come. And he saves us once for all. There is a cure. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have already mentioned that after death there is the judgment. But the very next verse in the book of Acts says this: after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And the verses that we read together in Romans chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The cure, the solution for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ died for our sins. Let's just for the final moment go back once more to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve had sinned. They knew they were naked. They had hidden, they tried to hide themselves from God, but God had the solution. For we read together in verse 21, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. An innocent victim died. Its skin was taken to cover the nakedness of the guilty pair. A picture of what the Lord Jesus had done for us. An innocent victim, the Son of God, died that we might be forgiven. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus, the perfect man, came from heaven, stepped into time to die for guilty men, to take man's place, bear the punishment due to man and woman. Peter put it like this: for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So what must we do? If the Lord Jesus has died in our place, if he has borne the penalty for sin that was due to you and me, what must we do to experience for ourselves the benefit of the cure, the solution for sin, to know the joy of sins forgiven? Firstly, confess. Be sure your sins will find you out. You need to confess. The Lord Jesus tells of a young man who left home. He went to a far country. He spent all his living on riotous living, however. We read in Luke chapter 15 that he came to himself. In that far country, he came to himself. He considered his life. And he says, I will return to my father, and I will say, I have sinned. Confession. Repentance is where you begin. And then, believe. Another man in our Bible, a jailer from Philippi, at the end of himself, he said, what must I do to be saved? And the reply from the preacher was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that he, the Lord Jesus, and He alone can save you. Believe that when He died on the cross, it was for you. And by so doing, confessing and believing the gospel, the cure for sin can be yours. The solution for sin can be yours. Sins can be forgiven. And so we finish. I'll quote to you once more the verse from Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin, the greatest problem, its cause, its curse, and its cure. Now our time is gone, so dispense with a closing hymn, but we will just bow for a moment and commit ourselves to God in prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the good news of the gospel message, that Thou commended Thy love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank Thee, our God, that there is a cure for the problem of sin, that Thou hast provided a solution for those who have transgressed Thy principles, Thy standards, Thy revealed will. We do just ask Thy blessing on the gathering this evening and the presentation and consideration of Thy word. Be with us now as we part, we ask. In Jesus' name, Amen.